Good morning. It is good to see all of you here. We appreciate so much your choosing to come and to be with us today and to worship with us. And we hope that our devotionals and our devotions that we send up to God today in song and in our study and contemplation of God's Word will be uplifting to you. Wouldn't you like to be have had the opportunity to walk a day, a week with Jesus? To be able to just be with him all day long and to be right next to him, and you walk right with him, and all the things that happen to him during that day or that week, you're right there, you have a front row seat, you see it all. The sicknesses, the demon possessed, the threats, and all of those things, you witness that firsthand. I've often thought and wondered about how I would love to have had that opportunity. There's another side of me, though, that kind of checks me back to reality. And I remember when I was in college, there was a guy that lived right next door to me in the dormitory, and he was also a deputy sheriff of Chester County while he was going to college. And I rode with him one night in his deputy or sheriff car, and I said at some point in that night, if I get back alive, I will never do this again. I was terrified. You can't imagine in a little town how many things go on that are frightening. And I often then think, I wonder, would I really want to walk with Jesus? Because it had to have been sometimes just absolutely terrifying, not knowing what would happen next. We have one of those occasions in Mark chapter 5. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it there. And I want us to talk about Mark chapter 5, at least the first 20 verses. What I'll do is I'll just kind of give you an overview of that. I'm not going to read all 20 verses, but I would like for us to look at Mark 5. And here's what I want us to keep in mind as we go through this study. Demons were a phenomenon in the first century that Jesus contended with and his disciples contended with. And there's a lot we don't know about them. We're not told about their origin specifically. We're not told specifically about how they went their way and all the things about them. A lot of questions about them. But boy, they were an adversary of Jesus. They were an adversary of humans. They tried to disrupt and destroy lives, and we know that to be the case. But I want you to also note that the demons were not the only enemies of Christ. Sometimes people, and sometimes intentionally and other times unintentionally, also allow themselves to thwart and get in the way of the agenda of Jesus. It's not just demons that Jesus had to contend with. He also had to contend with the hearts and minds of people that were not possessed by demons, but did not have his kingdom agenda in mind. And I'd like for us to consider that, because that may still be going on today. I don't think that a demon is going to take hold of your life without your control like they did in the first century. We don't have to contend with that, but we do have to be careful that we don't find ourselves antagonistic to the God that we serve. In Mark chapter 5, we have Jesus has come to the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee, the land of the Gadarenes, and there was a man there who was possessed by demons. He spent his time living in the tombs, among the graves, in the mountains. He ran around, he stripped himself of his clothes, just a crazy man, and extremely powerful and strong. They tried to bind him on a number of occasions, and he would just break the shackles and the chains so that he couldn't be contained. I'm sure he put great fear in the people that lived in that territory. They didn't want to be out at night, out on the hill, because he might be out there. I'm sure moms and dads had to be careful and keep an eye on their children because there was this crazy man running around out there. Well, Jesus came to this region, and that man saw him, and he ran and worshiped Jesus. And as Jesus talked to him, Jesus realized he was demon-possessed, and he said, come out of that man, spoke to the demons, and he said, and what's your name? And they said, we are Legion. Legion means many. I don't know how many there were. I mean, you can try to compare it to a legion of soldiers and so forth, but I do know this, that when they were cast out, they entered into a herd of swine, and 2,000 of that number ran off and drowned in the sea. So maybe there were that many, I don't know. But there were many. And Jesus told them to come out, and they didn't want to be just cast out, and that's another one of those mysteries. Why? Why didn't they just want to be cast out? They said, don't just cast us out. At least let us go into these swine. And Jesus said, okay, enter the swine. And when they did, boy, those swine just went mad, I don't know, and they just took off, and they ran down this steep place and into the sea, and they drowned. The man is now well. He's back to himself. He has scars to prove where he's been. The Bible says that he would spend time in those tombs and he would cut himself. He'd get sharp rocks and cut himself. I wonder how scarred up he must have looked. How badly did he disfigure himself while he was possessed by these demons? And how might other people have viewed him? Might that have been a stain on his life for the rest of his life? Might he have caused a double take among people because of what sin had done to him or because of what the demons had done to him? But this man now is better, and he wants to follow Jesus. The people of the community, when they heard that their swine had been run off and drowned, they came to Jesus and they pled with him. They didn't just say go, they begged him, saying, would you please just leave? The man was thrilled, and he said to Jesus, I want to go with you. Wow, you have changed my life. You've given my life back. I want to go with you. And you'll remember that Jesus said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. I want you to go home to your family and friends. And I want you to tell them what I have done for you. And so he did. And he told others as well and spread the word about Jesus. That's the story in a nutshell, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And I want to bring out 3 points from that reading. And the first point is this. The man was drawn to Jesus when he came to the area. But at the same time, he was fearful of him. Do you see that? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Look at verses 6 and 7. When they saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. See, there's that part of him that said, this is the Son of God. This is Jesus. And he ran and he worshiped him. But notice what it says in the very next verse. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. On one hand, he wants to worship Jesus. On the other hand, he's afraid of Jesus. That's not that uncommon today, is it? How many people do you know of they're really their own worst enemy when it comes to... could you advance that slide one? Yeah, there we go. Thank you. There are some who just... They're afraid. They're afraid of Jesus. And because of that, they're their own worst enemy. How many times have people known they need to come to Jesus, but they're afraid? You know, back a few years ago, I had my first root canal. And I was a little bit hesitant. I didn't know anything about root canals. And I went to a dentist who was just real close by the church building there. He was an older man, and maybe his techniques weren't as good as Gary's. And boy, I'll tell you, I didn't know what I was in for. I thought I was going to die or kill him. One of us was going to die. I was in the most pain. I couldn't sit still. I was just crawling all over that chair. And it was just the worst thing I've ever experienced. And so when I had to have a second root canal, I was terrified. I went to a different dentist and I braced myself because I've had one. I know what this is like. And I grabbed a hold and I held on and waited and waited. And I never had any pain. He said, well, we're done. And I said, we're done. It hasn't even hurt yet. And he said, well, it's not supposed to hurt. And I explained what had happened before. But I knew I needed it, but I was so afraid. And isn't that where a lot of people are today? Oh, yeah, I need Jesus, but man, do you know what that means? This is going to be hard. This is going to cause me to have to, if I accept Jesus as my Savior, if I come to Him and let Him take over my life and make Him my Lord, then you know how that's going to impact my life? I can't do some of the things I've been doing. And so I don't want to give that up. Oh, I want Jesus, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to give that up. Or my attitudes, my actions, all those things Jesus has control of. And so I love Jesus. I want Him to be my Savior. But I'm afraid if I commit to Him, I won't be able to do what I want to do. How many people are with Jesus? Or there, at least there's a part of them that is drawn to Jesus. There may be people in the pews here today who are drawn to Jesus because they know He's good. He's the Son of God. But they're too afraid to commit themselves wholly to Him. They're too afraid to finalize and obey the gospel and commit themselves fully to Him because of what it might cost. I remember the story in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, Felix. Paul had been arrested and was in under his charge, and Felix called for him, wanted to talk to him, wanted to learn more about the way. And so he calls for him, and so Paul comes, and you know what Paul does? He preaches to him righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And if you think that was an accident that he picked that, you're probably mistaken. Because you see, Felix also had a woman with him. Her name was Drusilla. And Drusilla was not, well, she was his wife, but not his lawful wife. She was married to another man. But Felix saw her and thought she was beautiful, and he wanted her to be his wife. And so Drusilla left her husband and came and became the wife of Felix. She was about 19 years old at this age. He was living in sin. And so when he says, oh, Felix, man, I want to hear about the way. I've heard some things. I want you to come and tell us about this Jesus. And so Paul says, sure, I'll talk to you about Jesus. And here's where we're going to start. We're going to talk about righteousness. Right living. And we're going to talk about self-control. You don't take women that don't belong to you. You have to control yourself. And we're going to talk about the judgment to come. How that you have to give an answer for your sinful deeds one day. And what was Felix's response? This man who wanted to come close to Jesus, what's his response at this point? Hey, thanks, but you know, I'll call for you again at a more convenient season. He pushed it off. He shoved it away. We often put off what we know we should do today. And again, I dare say there may be some people here this morning, and you're here because you know Jesus is good. And you know He can do you good. And you know He's Savior. And you have been drawn by Him next to His side. But you're a little bit afraid to commit. That was the nature of this man. Here's a second point I want you to see from this chapter. And it's that people pled with Jesus to leave. I find that hard to understand. How can you tell Jesus to go away? Well, here's how they did it. Jesus, you cost us too much. Well, we can't have you around here. Man, you just cost us 2,000 swine. You know how much we could have gotten for those? We could have sold those. You're a drain on our bank account, Jesus. Would you just please go. Leave us alone. You think there are any people like that today? They recognize that Jesus is good, but I'd rather you not come around here. I think there are. There are people that are so blinded by their own interests, they couldn't and they still can't see the good that is accomplished by Jesus. Where are these people thinking? It reminds me of Jonah. We talked about him last week. Jonah, there's a city filled with more than 100,000 folks in it. And they are spared. And all you can think about is, poor me, my little bush died that gave me shade. And he had no concern about all those people in that city. And here's some people. They suffered a financial loss. They lost their swine. But a man was given his life back. A man who was self-destructive and out of his mind can now return to his family. Don't you think he probably had a mom and a dad? Maybe a wife, maybe children, a brother or sister? Don't you think someone loved him? Must have. They tried to bind him and control him and tame him on a number of occasions, but were unable to. This man has given his life back. What's that worth? Can you not rejoice in that? Do you tell the man who gave his life back, hey, would you just kind of scoot along? We don't want you around here. We can get so busy with our own lives that we don't see the beauty of Jesus and what he's doing in the lives of other people. And we might only see the inconvenience that it places upon me. Jesus may be at work in a person's life who has been a messy sinner, and that person is trying to clean up, and in that attempt to clean up, they call upon you often for help, and there's that tug in our, man, are you kidding me? I've got to deal with this again, and we don't see that a person is getting his life back. We just see inconvenience. We have a rather aggressive plan that requires a rather aggressive contribution right now. Because of growth and expansion plans and so forth, we have some things that are pretty aggressive. It's going to cause and demand some sacrifice among us. And we say, yeah, that's all good. I'm all for growth and everything. That's cool. But man, you're into my wallet. You know, that requires me to do more, to give more. Oh, I know Jesus is good, but do you not understand that if I follow Jesus, I got to quit doing this and quit doing that? And you see, sometimes we have the wrong mindset. We look at life in the wrong way. We're more concerned about our own agendas than what Jesus is able to accomplish in the lives of other people. Romans 12, in verse 10, also in verse 15. Paul said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And then he says in verse 15, rejoice with those who do rejoice and weep with those who weep. Compassion. These people had no compassion. Jesus had worked a great miracle and given a man his life back. And instead of throwing a party and enjoying and celebrating with this man's life being handed back to him, all they can see is just leave. Leave us alone. I don't want us to be like that either. We can be our own worst enemy. And failing to show compassion and to see that what Jesus is able to accomplish in the lives of other people. And here's the third and final point. Jesus made this man's home his mission. Do you see that in Mark chapter 5 verses 19 and 20? He said, you know, you're not coming with me. The guy said, please take me with you. I want to go with you. I'm so grateful for what you've done to me. I want to be your follower. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to let you. But here's what you will do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. You don't have to go on a mission trip halfway around the world to serve the Lord. Your home can be your mission. And you don't have to wait until you have the opportunity to go halfway around the world to do mission work before you reach out to the lost. Could it be true that we can sit all year long and do nothing in terms of reaching out to people with the gospel until we go on a trip somewhere far away and then we're signing up? We'll do that. I'm going to talk to people about Jesus in Timbuktu, but in Carnes, I don't know. But I'll go to Timbuktu and do it, but I don't feel the need to do it. Do you see there's something wrong with that, isn't there? Jesus said, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to go halfway, you know, all over the place with me and follow me and just take up and leave and follow. I appreciate that, but I have something else I need you to do. I need you to go home. And I need you to tell people at home about what I have done for you. Listen, there may not be a whole lot of folks here who are able to pick up and go and spend weeks on mission trips in foreign lands. I understand that. That may not be what you can do. But I'll tell you, there is something you can do. You may not be able to follow Jesus to a foreign field, but you can follow Jesus right here at home. And you can tell people what the Lord has done for you and what he can do for them right here at home, just as Jesus told him. And so as we bring this lesson to a close, here's the point that I want you to see. Those demons, they were bad news. Man, they had just turned this guy's life upside down. I don't know if he had a wife and children and all that, but I do know that he was separated from any family, any contact, meaningful contact with people. His life was ruined. He was self-destructive, hurting himself. Those demons had destroyed his life. They were the enemies of Jesus. And Jesus took care of them in short order, of course. But those aren't the only enemies of Jesus. Some are enemies of Jesus, and they don't have to have demon possession. They just have to have the wrong heart. They just have to be short-sighted. You see, when I turn away from Jesus because it gets too costly and it requires too many sacrifices, when I plead for him to leave me alone because it's just getting too close and I just want him to go away, then I'm part of the problem too, right? You don't have to be demon-possessed to be a problem and an adversary of Jesus. So as we bring this lesson to a close, let me just ask you this. Are you like that man in the story? You knew Jesus was a good man. You felt the need to get close to him because he was the Son of God. And you feel the need to assemble today and fall down and worship him. But even though you're close, you're still a little afraid to commit yourself. It'll require changes in your life. It may require compassion to be had and an agenda of the kingdom to be adopted where you go forth, where you go home and talk to people about the good that Jesus has done in your life. Get over that fear and embrace him fully. If you're here this morning and you know that Jesus is the Son of God and yet you haven't fully committed yourself to him, turn from your sin, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and he will cleanse you. Your life will be delivered just like that man in Mark chapter 5. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful, and it's time to come home and to come clean and live for him and serve him at home, we'll pray with you to that end if you'll come as we stand together and sing.